Welcome to Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we're going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Our first article is entitled, Three Community Colleges Join Reform Program. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, September 2nd, 2025, and written by Samantha Ray. Three Maricopa County colleges will reform their programs to guide more community college students into paths that lead directly to good jobs or bachelor's degrees. Chandler Gilbert, Gateway, and Paradise Valley Community Colleges are three of the 55 institutions across the nation chosen to join the Unlocking Opportunity Network by the Aspen Institute College Excellence Program. Unlocking Opportunity is a three-year initiative that engages community colleges to develop and enact reforms focused on increasing the number of students entering and completing high-value programs. The ultimate goal of Unlocking Opportunity is to ensure that more students complete programs that lead directly to well-paying jobs or completion of a bachelor's degree. The initiative was developed in partnership by the Aspen Institute College Excellence Program and the Community College Research Center. It began in 2023 with 10 colleges in the pilot network. The colleges applied for this second cohort and explained why they would be a good fit for the network. Then their leadership was interviewed by Aspen and eventually they were selected. Over the 3 years, college leaders will participate in virtual and in-person sessions aimed at aligning college programs with regional workforce needs and bachelor's degree pathways. Leaders from Chandler Gilbert, Gateway, Paradise Valley, and the 52 other community colleges will have the opportunity to engage with representatives from Aspen and the pilot colleges. Network colleges will also use lessons from the 10 pilot institutions' successful reforms to set goals to grow enrollment in high-value programs. The lessons will help guide the second cohort through the first cohort's experience of strategies that worked, didn't work, and lessons learned. Chandler Gilbert Community College President Dr. C.J. Worster said, "So leveraging some best practices, but then seeing how they can apply to our specific college, our specific student need, our community need, and our industry need is something that our team has a significant interest in. In the first year, schools will focus on planning. This fall, colleges will do a deep dive into data on some of the programs and transfer pathways they offer. In the spring, they'll start to establish their goals with Unlocking Opportunity. Actions will start being taken toward each college's identified goals after the first year. Success will be measured through metrics such as retention and student persistence, student transfer rates, and time to completion. Chandler Gilbert Community College already has a few areas in mind that it would like to highlight," Worster said. First, he said they'd like to see dual enrollment pathways strengthened so that high school students can earn college credits with a clear career pathway in mind. Second, Chandler Gilbert will be taking a look at their advising strategies, focusing on advising excellence and how they approach front-end support as students enter programs. Third, they'll be looking for areas to strengthen program pathways to upward mobility. Chandler Gilbert will be analyzing its workforce development-related programs and university transfer pathways to find opportunities for advancement. What reform actually looks like will vary by college because programs vary by college. At Chandler Gilbert, for example, Worster said there may be a way to build in stackable credentials within some programs, adding value throughout the pathway. The 10 Unlocking Opportunity pilot institutions are currently on track to collectively move over 20,000 students into high-value programs. The pilot colleges will continue to have their progress supported and tracked by Aspen for 3 years, along with the 55 colleges chosen for the expanded network. "Every single day I'm coming to work and I have an opportunity to have an impact," Worster said. "So with this work, to be able to be focused for the next 3 years through Unlocking Opportunity and looking for ways to continue to build on the good things that we do already and make them even better, I just have an incredible amount of passion for that and for the community, really, to be able to serve the needs." Dr. Amy Diaz, president of Gateway Community College, noted that her campus works to open doors to opportunity for every student. "Being part of the Unlocking Opportunity Network allows us to add resources in powerful new ways, ensuring our students not only complete their programs but also move into meaningful careers that change the trajectory of their lives and strengthen our community," Diaz said. Dr. Jana Schwartz, president of Paradise Valley Community College, said the partnership with Aspen gives us a powerful framework to strengthen how we guide students from the classroom to careers and transfer opportunities. Together, we are aligning programs with the needs of Arizona's workforce and universities so that our students gain not only credentials, but the confidence and preparation to thrive in the next stage of their journey, Schwartz said. End of story. Our next article is entitled Chandler Thrift Shop Offers Deals and Charity. This was posted in the Santan Sun News, August 29, 2025, and written by Ken Sain. Deb Hosfield, who manages the Hidden Treasures Thrift Shop in Chandler, says she's seen a lot more young people shopping her aisles lately. I think they know a great deal, Hosfield said. Some of our volunteers have actually put it out on their Facebook saying, quote, this is a great place to get a good deal, end quote. Hidden Treasures 610 North Alma School Road has been offering great deals for nearly two decades. First opening 18 years ago, it differs from some other thrift stores in that it is run by four churches, has only one employee, and relies heavily on volunteers. Saving money allows the churches to take the profits from the thrift shop and donate them to local charities. We do give a lot of money to charities, but it's just part of the mission of the church of this organization, said Reverend Christine Stone, pastor at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church. Hidden Treasures awards grants to local 501c nonprofits that apply at their website. The churches ask that the money they award be used to serve people and not cover overhead costs. They meet twice a year to decide which charities to support. Last spring, they handed out $19,000. That's only one way that Hidden Treasures serves Chandler. Because the prices are so low, we have found that people get served just by shopping here as well, Stone said. In addition to the low prices, there is no sales tax because they are giving the profits to charity. What's the top selling item? Our biggest sales are women's clothing, said Louise Shea, one of about 45 volunteers who work on average 10 hours a week to keep the store running. Shea says volunteers come from all over, not just members of the four churches. The other churches involved are Mountain View Lutheran Church in Ahwatukee, Desert Cross Lutheran Church in Tempe, and Light of Christ in Gilbert. All of the items being sold were donated. Hosfield said the second best-selling item is kitchenware. Another top seller are picture frames because those can be expensive outside of a thrift store. The store also has books, some furniture, and electronics. Hosfield said most of the electronics that are donated tend to be outdated. We do get people who want VHS tapes, VHS recorders, the machines, but we don't see those at all, she said. Perhaps the most requested item that shoppers are looking for are tables. We just don't get enough of those, or sofas, at this time of year, Hosfield said. Those are the items that everybody's looking for. Hidden Treasures does have a couple of volunteers who drive a truck and will pick up donations. However, they don't work during the hottest months of the year. They will begin picking up donations again in September. Some of the charities that Hidden Treasures has donated grants to in the past include Matthews Crossing Food Bank, Chandler Care Center, and the Arizona chapter of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. End of story. Our next article is entitled Chandler Ponders Veterans Memorial. This was posted in the Santan Sun News, August 24, 2025, and updated September 2, 2025. This is written by Ken Sain. The city of Chandler wants to honor veterans, but space is limited. That prompts more questions. Should it honor any veteran who has ties to the East Valley, or should it limit to those with ties directly to Chandler? The City Council Quality of Life Subcommittee met recently to try to answer those questions. The city is considering adding the names of local veterans who were honorably discharged to its field of honor at Veterans Oasis Park in Southeast Chandler. The initial plan estimates there is room for about 2,350 names. They would be built on panels on 14 sections of wall that mark the edge of three sides of the Field of Honor. Councilman Matt Orlando was skeptical of allowing veterans with just East Valley ties, wanting to focus more on Chandler veterans. If it's only Chandler, at 5,000 maybe, he said, but if we open it up to the Southeast Valley to make it a destination point, which is really what we're trying to do, now you're going to quickly blow through that. There is a wrinkle to limiting the names to only veterans with ties to Chandler. The Gila River Indian community contributed a $5,000 grant on the condition that it be a regional memorial. The city is hoping to work out the details so that the first names of veterans added to the field of honor will be unveiled this Veterans Day. Staff told the three council members who serve on the committee that there is a lot to do and not much time to do it if they are going to meet that deadline. In addition to Orlando, Odie Harris and Jennifer Hawkins also serve on the Quality of Life Subcommittee. John Sefton, the city's community service director, said Peoria had a similar memorial when he worked there. Based on his experience there, he said about 70 names get added to the memorial every year. Sefton said Peoria's memorial is not limited just to veterans from that city, but also neighboring cities. Orlando did offer one idea to create room for more names. He suggested that they just be limited to the name, similar to the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C. An example of what it might look like listed individual plaques that also included each veteran's rank, unit, military branch, and years of service. Keep it simple, Orlando said. The additional information would be available online, and there would be a QR code for people to scan at the park to find out more information about each veteran whose name is on a wall, he suggested. The current plan, which might be revised, would ask anyone who wants to add a veteran's name to the memorial to fill out an application online. It may ask for documentation to prove an honorable discharge. If no documentation is available, people could still submit the application and an investigation would be done. Each application would be reviewed by the city's Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. If approved, the name would then be added to the memorial. Sefton said names would likely be added four times a year with a ceremony on Veterans Day to honor all the new inductees. There would be a cost. Orlando said the original plan was to have a small fee to cover the cost of adding the name. The city would continue to pay for the ongoing maintenance of the memorial. Staff estimated that the cost would be $200, and Orlando asked if there was a way to lower that. If we open this up outside of Chandler, I think Gila River probably gets involved given the size of the check they wrote. But if we go beyond that, the citizens of Chandler are then footing the bill for everyone else because that initial money may cover for a little while, but that's going to run out, Acting City Manager John Pombier said. You can't have this start to look bad, he continued. The day this starts to look bad, we look bad. That upkeep has got to be an ongoing thing. He suggested if this is to be a true regional memorial, then perhaps the city should work out agreements with other cities to help pay for its maintenance. End of story. Our next article is entitled Higley Students Shop with an Officer. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune August 30th, 2025, and written by Samantha Ray. The Gilbert Police Department partnered with the Higley Unified School District to help students in need with the first annual, quote, Shop with a Police Officer, end quote, event 1 month into the school year. Officers accompanied 24 HUSD students who strolled into Target just before 9 a.m. August 16th, ready to shop for back-to-school needs. Students combed the aisles at criminal speeds, hardly containing their excitement. Thanks to a $6,000 donation from Salt River Project and money collected by the Gilbert Police Department and hosting from Target, each student had about $200 to spend on whatever they needed for the back-to-school season. Students were selected to participate based on need, evaluated by administrators. 9-year-old Frankie Padilla was fired up to meet the force and paired with Gilbert Police Assistant Chief Sarah Garza. Frankie's sisters, Adrina, 12, and Amanda Blue, 10, also participated in the event and each shopped with their respective officers. Greeted by Gilbert police cruisers and a motorcycle at Target's front entrance, Frankie asked, "Is this all for us?" As they shopped, Frankie showed Garza the kinds of clothes and materials he liked, making sure they were all functional for his two favorite things about fourth grade, P.E., and science class. The pair kicked it off quickly and were able to finish their shopping within an hour. Frankie picked out some basic necessities, t-shirts, button-up shirts, jeans, shorts, a new pair of shoes, and even a water bottle. Even though he was shopping with a chief, Frankie rode like a captain on the front of the cart and thanked Garza for the shopping experience at the end. This is such an age where you can make a really great impact on kids, and it really kind of shapes their perception of police, that we're just here to help and be friendly, Garza said. We want them to know that they can trust us and call us if they have a bad day. Amanda Padilla, the children's mother, explained how this event took a large weight off her family's shoulders. They were experiencing a string of personal hardships as they neared the start of the school year, making the demands of back-to-school season even more daunting on not just Amanda, but her daughters as well. This helped a lot because it got their hopes up, Amanda said. Gilbert police were excited to serve their community in a new way and expressed their hopes that the children would walk away with a memorable experience and positive relationships with law enforcement. Sergeant Jordan Truckenbrode, who grew up in Gilbert and has a family of his own, said it was his first time participating in an event like this. It makes you smile, Truckenbrode said. I think if you're a parent yourself, seeing kids not have to worry about reality issues and being able to get what they need and start school off on a good foot, it means a lot. End of story. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt, your volunteer reader. Continuing on, our next story is entitled, New Rules Imposed to Keep High School Sports Safe. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune September 1st, 2025, and written by Ken Sane. The Arizona Interscholastic Association is taking steps to improve safety for the state's high school athletes. Starting this year, all fall sports athletes must complete, by the end of September, an anti-hazing course and another on opioid and concussion education. Athletes in winter and spring sports must complete those courses before they can try out for a team. It's important to be proactive with this type of training so students are aware of the dangers of hazing and the outcomes that may go with it, said AIA Executive Director Dr. Jim Dean. This will be another step to assist our coaches, school administrators, and communities related to the important aspects of hazing and hazing prevention. The other change to improve safety for high school athletes requires all credentialed media to pass a fingerprint background check by the Arizona Department of Public Safety. Seth Polonsky, the AIA's Director of Media Services, said there was no single incident that led to these changes in AIA policy. It was a accumulation of years of claims being filed and the state legislature passing an anti-hazing state statute that the Arizona Risk Retention Trust decided to develop a course to at least reduce, if not try to eliminate, hazing incidents in schools that are leading to many issues, injuries, transfers, and lawsuits. One of Arizona's most notorious hazing incidents took place in Chandler. In 2017, six Hamilton High School football players were arrested for hazing incidents that included sexual assault and aggravated assault. The hazing took place between 2015 and 2017 on school grounds. In 2020, one former student was sentenced to 6 months probation. Several CUSD employees were censured by the State Board of Education because of their roles in the scandal. There have been other cases. The most recent was at Liberty High School in Peoria, where videos of wrestlers show inappropriate conduct. Eight football players were dismissed from Paradise Valley High School football team in 2016 over incidents that happened during an out-of-state football camp. Five Empire High School junior varsity football players in Tucson were suspended in 2014 over hazing allegations. Three Douglas High School football players were accused of forcing another student into a car and driving him to the desert where they planned to abandon him. They said it was a school tradition. In 2000, eight Winslow players were indicted on charges from kidnapping to rape. Opioids are painkillers used by some athletes to help them play when injured. The number of deaths due to opioid overdoses has fallen, but it's still high. The National Institute on Drug Abuse said opioids killed more than 79,000 in the United States in 2023. There has also been a case where a credentialed member of the media acted inappropriately with high school athletes. Two brothers who were freelance media were accused of sending sexual, suggestive, and uncomfortable messages to high school athletes in Scottsdale, Phoenix, Gilbert, and Mesa. One girls' basketball player claimed they had asked for photos of herself in a bra. A volleyball player was told she was, quote, cute, end quote, and asked if she had a boyfriend. A baseball player was encouraged to streak or do naked push-ups. The brothers' credentials were revoked. End of story. Our next article is entitled, Pinal County Starts Process to Select Santan Valley's First Town Council. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, August 28, 2025, and written by Janet Pettis. With the election and canvassing over, the practical work of building the town of Santan Valley has started. During its regular meeting on Wednesday, the Pinal County Board of Supervisors unanimously voted to begin the process of selecting members for the new town's first council. This is a historical event, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to be a part of this and to set things in motion, which has already been set in motion with the approval by the citizens locally exercising their right to vote, Supervisor Mike Goodman said at the meeting. The board will appoint 7 members to serve on the inaugural council until an election is held in 2026. Those interested can apply for one of the 7 positions. Applications will be accepted until 5 p.m. Thursday, September 11th, and will include a background check. The interviews with selected candidates will take place in public during a special board session on Monday, September 15th, at its hearing room in Florence. The meeting will be live streamed. The appointments will be made at the board's regular meeting on Wednesday, September 17th. Eligible applicants must be a legal resident of Arizona residing within the incorporated boundaries of the town of Santan Valley, have resided within the incorporated boundaries of the town of Santan Valley for at least 1 year, be a registered voter in Arizona, be able to read and write in English, be at least 18 years of age. To apply, visit http://bit.ly/46BGO94. On August 5th, residents of a portion of unincorporated Santan Valley and Pinal County went to the polls to vote on creating the town of Santan Valley. The yes vote won by an about 2-to-1 margin. The yes votes for incorporation came in at 10,133, or 66.5%, with the no votes at 5,083, or 33.3%. The incorporation movement was spearheaded by the group Santan Valley Incorporated. On August 18th, the Pinal County Board of Supervisors voted to approve the results of the election. According to Pinal County Recorder Dana Lewis, a total of 15,221 votes were cast, included 13,335 early voting ballots, 1,838 election day ballots, and 48 provisional. Of the 55,081 registered residents who were eligible to vote in the election, 27% cast ballots. The new government will get up and running using $51 million in state shared revenue. On July 1st, 2026, the county will pass all responsibility for the area to the new town leaders. Past efforts to incorporate Santan Valley failed in 2004, 2010, and 2017, but in the past few years, support for the establishment of the new town from surrounding municipalities grew, especially within its closest neighbor, Queen Creek. In the 92nd municipality in Arizona, the town of Santan Valley will now get a piece of state shared revenue. Another town means that other municipalities in the state will get a smaller slice of the state shared revenue pie. The League of Arizona Cities and Towns estimates that Scottsdale's state shared revenue for fiscal year 2026 will be more than $117 million. Scottsdale City Manager Greg Caton estimates that Santan Valley Incorporation will cost the city $1.5 million in state shared revenue for the upcoming year. In contrast, the League of Arizona Cities and Towns estimates that Queen Creek's state shared revenue for fiscal year 2026 will be more than $40 million. According to Queen Creek officials, state shared revenue is expected to drop by $527,000 during the town of Santan Valley's first year. Queen Creek Councilmember Jeff Brown said that's not necessarily bad news for the town. While there will be a slight reduction in the town of Queen Creek's allocation of state shared revenues, it is important to recognize that the funds collected by the newly established municipality will remain in the area, Brown said. Santan Valley Incorporated estimates that $10.5 million of the area's state shared revenue now goes to Phoenix. End of story. Please send your comments about this article to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. Janet Perez can be reached at jperez@iniusa.org. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek Council to Take Up Land Annexation That Could Bring New Church. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, September 2nd, 2025, and written by Janet Perez. More than 4 acres of Maricopa County land at the southwest corner of Signal Butte and Riggs Roads could be annexed by the town, bringing with it the development of a new church. The Queen Creek Town Council will be deciding the annexation issue when it meets on Wednesday. The proposed annexation is on the council's consent agenda, in which all matters are handled through one motion and vote. A member of the council or town staff may pull items from the consent agenda for a separate discussion and vote. In May, the council held a public hearing on the matter, and no members of the public commented on the proposal. David Toulson, Bowman Consulting, is working on behalf of the property owner to annex the 4.4-acre parcel. The property owner has also submitted to a proposed site plan to develop a 17,953-square-foot church on the land. Quote, it is proposed that the undeveloped rural land be incorporated into the town of Queen Creek and developed into a church building with a parking lot. The proposed development will provide civic benefit to the town of Queen Creek by providing a place of worship for residents in the subdivisions surrounding the site, end quote, the project narrative stated. The parcel is currently zoned as rural by Maricopa County. Under state statutes, when a property is annexed by a municipality, it must receive equivalent zoning. In Queen Creek, that would be rural residential, quote, the proposed annexation area has been in the town's planning area since 1996. The planning area identifies areas located outside of the town's jurisdictional boundaries that may be annexed within the town in future years, end quote, according to a staff report. Under Queen Creek's general plan, the site is designated as, quote, neighborhood, end quote, which allows for a range of residential densities and neighborhood commercial centers. A church would be allowed on the site. The Queen Creek Town Council meeting starts at 6:30 p.m. at Community Chambers 20727 East Civic Parkway. Please send your comments about this article to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. Janet Perez can be reached at jperez@iniusa.org. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt. I'm your volunteer reader. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.